Blog Talk Radio.
Today's message is short and sweet. It's true salvation. We're going to focus on the first letter John wrote, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And this message is going to focus on this often misunderstood topic of what true salvation actually is. You know, the devil, he's a great counterfeiter. And he'd just as soon send you and me to hell from the pew in a church as from the gutter. That's true, folks. In fact, he prefers to have us stuck in some form of religion. Remember, he comes as an angel of light, as do his ministers of righteousness. But he doesn't want us in a genuine, true salvation through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, no, no. He wants us stuck in religion, like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And I truly believe, folks, that the curse of the 21st century is that we have many people in churches who are baptized pagans. There's churches all across the world full of empty people who have never truly been saved. Now, they may have culture, but they don't have Calvary. They may have ritual, but not reality. They may have form, but not the force and the power of God in their lives. They may have religion, but not righteousness. So what we're going to study today is true salvation. And here's a heads up for everyone, including myself. This message is a warning to everyone. Everyone, lest you be deceived and miss the whole point. So Jesus came to this earth to take away our sins. Get that? He came to take away our sins. I'm going to read 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 9. And John wrote, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he," that's Jesus, "has manifested to take away our sins. And in him," that's Jesus, "is no sin. Whosoever abideth or lives in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he," that's Jesus, "might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him," that's the seed of Jesus Christ, "and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, like I said when we opened here, many people are deceived because they have this gross misunderstanding of what true salvation actually is. So let's take this passage of Scripture I just read and break it down into three parts. And first, we're going to see our rebellion that proves our sinfulness. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by birth, by practice, by creed. We are sinners. And the thing we're going to see here is that we're not called sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners, and we need a redeemer. Now, you know, sometimes we sit in churches, though, and we're well-dressed. We have these plastic smiles on our faces. But God sees right through that phoniness, right down into our hearts. And what's he see there? Rebellion. And Samuel told King Saul, when he started to consort with the witches, that rebellion is the spirit of witchcraft and stubbornness the sin of iniquity. And if you have that in your hearts, folks, you will not inherit your kingdom. Remember, we're called princes and kings through the spirit of adoption as we become heirs, co-heirs with Jesus Christ. But not as long as there's rebellion in your hearts. Now, there's a lot of ways that sin's described in the Bible. However, this passage we just read is the clearest and the best. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law. So sin is breaking God's law. Now, the Bible also says in Romans 14:23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So unbelief is sin. And that's also a good definition of sin. And then the Bible says in James 4:17, wherefore to him who knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So when you do, when you omit, or what's known in some churches as the sin of omission, when you don't do something that you know you ought to do, that's also sin. And then in John, 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin. In other words, sin is lawlessness. Now, we all understand that God made everything. Amen? He created the whole universe. He just spoke it into existence. You know, and when he did that, he built these laws into the universe, both physical and moral. And the whole universe works according to the fixed laws of God. Now, God established these laws because he's a God, he's the God of order. And today we use the term law and order. Without law, there is no order. And without that, we have chaos. Now, remember the motto of Lucifer and his secret societies is ordo ab chao. Order out of chaos. Oh, what's going on here? Do you see it? So God made everything in order. He made the stars to move in an orbit. He made the tides to ebb and flow. He made your bodies and my body to work according to certain principles, you know? He built it into nature. And likewise, he built laws into the moral system. So materially and morally, there are these laws that God made. You know, we often speak about the laws of nature. There are no laws of nature, folks. Only God's laws that nature must obey. And I hope you understand that. Yet, sadly, we have this generation of people today talking about Mother Earth when we need to talk about God the Father. The point is the entire universe works according to God's awesome laws. He even established the law of gravity. Now, you can climb up a 75-story building if you want to and just jump out the window believing you can fly. That's your choice. But just because you believe you can fly doesn't make it true. You're not going to break the law of gravity. All you'll do is demonstrate the law of gravity. And in the process, you'll be broken by the law of gravity. Now, you may even think you can do pretty well for a while there as you go sailing past the windows on your 75-story descent. You know what I mean? You'll pass the first window and say, I'm doing okay. Pass the second, I'm doing okay. Pass the 10th, I'm doing okay. Pass the 50th, I'm doing okay. Until you hit the 76th. There is no 76th window. And then you'll be broken by the law of gravity. So there's contained in all of God's laws, both physical and moral consequences for those who transgress God's laws. And this applies, like I said, to both the physical and moral universe. And in the moral universe, these laws are called the Ten Commandments. So we don't ever actually break the Ten Commandments. Just like gravity, we're broken by them. Only in the spiritual realm, sometimes the cause and effect aren't exactly related in time. Sometimes they're separated by time. For example, like if you went out and you had a fender bender today, the cause, you didn't look both ways when you went through the intersection. The effect, a fender bender. Cause and effect are pretty much related in the physical realm. The cause and the effect happen pretty much the same. Now, if you committed a spiritual fender bender, here's how it would work. You would commit the fender bender, whatever that transgression of the moral law is. You'd go home. Your car would look fine. You'd park your car in the garage. You'd go in and have dinner with the family, do your evening ritual, whatever that is, take your shower, go to bed, get up the next morning, get ready for work, go out into your garage, and your fender would all be crumpled. The point is, in the spiritual realm, when you break a moral law, sometimes the cause and effect are separated. But the truth is, we still reap what we sow. So when we transgress God's Ten Commandments, we're called sinners. And sin is what makes you and me outlaws. Sin is the transgression of the law, and sin makes us outlaws. Now, today, many people say, well, God's laws are old and outdated, and our country and this world would be better off without them. Well, let me ask you a question. How's that working out so far? We took the Ten Commandments out of schools, and now we have a bunch of outlaws in school. Problem in schools used to be chewing gum, cutting classes, you know, graffiti. Now there's knifings and shootings and teen pregnancies and rapes. How's that working out? Honestly, how's it working out? These laws of God were created for our well-being. Just take the law of gravity, for example. If we didn't have it, we'd be pulling ourselves off the ceiling all the time. And what would happen when we went outside? The same truth applies for moral laws. Every time God says, thou shall not, what he's actually saying is, don't hurt yourself, folks, I love you. And every time God says, thou shalt, what God is actually saying is, help yourself to happiness here and be blessed. Now, God doesn't need anything. He's complete in himself. In his triune nature, he has everything he needs. So he made these laws for us. And so since sin is the transgression of the law, and when we transgress the law, we break God's law and we break God's heart because he loves us. You see how this is all fitting together? So there is this lawless spirit that's in all of us. But sometimes we can hide it really well, you know? There are some people that just don't look like a rebel, but we're all rebels because we're all outlaws. Yeah, but some people you can see. They're murderers, they're rapists, they're bank robbers. You can just tell they live in open defiance of the law. So their lifestyle is lawlessness. But then these other people that hide it really well, like I said. And remember, the Bible says sin is the transgression of the law, okay? And the Bible says we've all sinned, so we've all transgressed God's law. And like I said, that makes us all outlaws. There's not a single person listening to this message right now who can say they've never broken any of God's Ten Commandments. But sometimes we can be very smug and sophisticated, and we'll try to rationalize ourselves out of that by living a lie and denying the truth. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever told a white lie or a fib? Ever in your whole life? Well, if so, that makes you a liar because you just broke the Ninth Commandment. Okay, so you never lied. Okay, I'll give that one to you. Have you ever taken a nickel off your mom's dresser or taken a pen home from work? If so, you just broke the Eighth Commandment, you know? Okay, so you never stole and you never lied. But have you ever looked lustfully upon another? If so, Jesus said, that's the same as doing it. And you just broke the Seventh Commandment. Never? You never did? You never stole anything? You never told a white lie? You never looked lustfully upon another person? Okay, I'll give you that. Were you ever angry at another person? Well, Jesus compares that to breaking the sixth commandment, which is murder. So even if you only broke the law in the spirit, Jesus is saying that's just as bad in God's sight. So sin is sin, and that's the point. Sin is the transgression of God's law. So God doesn't care whether it's a little white lie that you committed or a huge technicolor sin, a full-length feature film. It makes no difference to God. Jesus said that a sin is a sin, and anger towards your brother is just as bad as murder. So we're all liars, thieves, adulterers, or even murderers if we've broken even a jot or tittle of the law. Now, most of us don't realize that it's what we do that is actually a manifestation of who we are. And the real problem isn't what we do, but who we are. So a man isn't a liar because he tells lies. He tells lies because he's a liar. And a man isn't a thief because he steals. He steals because he's a thief. The problem is in the human heart, and that's what I'm trying to say here. So man's not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner, like I said. Now, like I said, we can also be very sophisticated and smug about this. But if we only knew the sin that lurks in the unresolved or stony heart of man. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Yours, mine, your dad's, your mom's, your daughter's, your son's, all of our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And remember, sin is the transgression of the law. So that's our rebellion that proves our sinfulness. Now let's contrast or compare our rebellion and sinfulness to his righteousness that proclaims our sonship. The Bible says, now we are all the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. You know, John wrote that earlier in the epistle. And that passage follows and deals with righteousness that proclaims our sonship. So John's saying, and we know that he, Jesus, was manifested, why? To take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth or lives in him sinneth not. So if we're truly in Christ and we're truly saved, the Bible says we're not going to sin. And I'm not saying that, folks. God's Word's saying that. Now, there's a lot of people who say they're saved. They said the salvation prayer, and they have their Willy Wonka ticket to heaven, so to speak, and they're going to get back to sinning. But a lot of these people say they're going to heaven, but there's no change in their life, none at all. And that's the reason I'm calling them baptized pagans. There's no change in their lives. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things are become new. So if your religion hasn't changed your life, you'd better change your religion. You know what I'm saying? To the Bible kind of religion. You know, the Bible has one religion, and that's charity to widows and orphans and keeping yourself free from the pollution of the world. That's the only religion the Bible preaches. Otherwise, it's all about relationship with Jesus, folks. You know, in today's churches, they teach and preach this form of easy believism. It's also known as seeker sensitivity. Oh, don't want to offend anyone. Don't want to call sin a sin. Let's just say you made a mistake. Well, God didn't die for our mistakes. He died for our sins. And so they'll go, this is how it'll go in one of these seeker sensitive churches. Oh, do you believe in Jesus? And the person will say, yes, I believe. Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes, I believe. Well, then you're saved. Praise the Lord. You know? But that's not true. The devil also believes all of that, and he trembles. You're saved when you bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and make him both your Savior and your Lord. And that's an act of faith that involves a change in your lifestyle. So once again, if your religion hasn't changed your lifestyle, you don't have the Bible kind of religion, also known as true salvation, through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be very clear about this. We're not saved by reforming our lives. No, no, no. Our Lord never tells us to clean up and then he'll save us. That's backwards. We came to Jesus just as we are, but Jesus didn't come to save us in our sins. The Bible says he came to save us from our sins. One more time. I want to repeat that. He came to save us from our sins. Praise Jesus. Now, listen to verse 5 in our focus verse. And John wrote, and you know that he was manifested, why? Why was Jesus manifested? To take away our sins. In him is no sin. Whosoever abideth or lives in him sinneth not. So what John's saying there is that if we belong to Jesus, we're going to act like Jesus. We're going to live like Jesus. And then listen to what he says in verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, that's Jesus, is righteous. Now that's his righteousness imputed to us, or imparted to us, or given to us, that proclaims our salvation when we apply.
Well, folks, Black Church is cut off from the game. And this happens every time there's a message that's given to someone. It's not that it makes. But we're going to go right back where we got cut off, where it was talking about a pure righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ in the life of a believer. And praise Jesus for that. But anyways, if you take this imputed righteousness and you start to live it in your life, it becomes what's known as a practical righteousness. And if you don't have a practical righteousness operating in your life, you're not saved. You see, the very word Christian means Christ-like. And please, there is no sin, praise Jesus. So we can't be Christ-like deliberately with a life of sin. Verse 6, let's slow down a little bit here. Whosoever abideth or lives in him, that's Jesus, sinneth not. Now this word abide means to be a friend with, or to dwell with. So if you're going to abide in our house, what would that mean? What would that mean? Come live in our house, dwell with me, be at home with me. So this word abide speaks of union or communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the reason that many people are still living in the members of the church is they the core tenet of true salvation, which is relationship in Jesus Christ. They have claims with Christ. They have claims. Jesus Christ, relationship. Relationship. In churches, and they have their socials, but they don't have a Christian relationship. So when we abide in Jesus, it's not that we stay. We say a lot. That's pretty simple. But that brings us to a real problem. Because we all know that as Christians, we fail. The Bible says in verse 6, whosoever abideth in him saith not. But we've got a real problem here. What's going on? Well, this isn't talking about sinless perfection. No. It's not talking about anyone who sins sinlessly, perfect, without any sin. But just look at the Bible characters. Abraham lied about his wife. We have Moses, who had a huge temper. He struck the law. He denied our Lord and Savior. And look at King David. He was unfaithful. In fact, he was a murderer. So the Bible shows their faults and their failures. He said that if we abide in we will sin not. Now, I don't want to become too technical here, but in Greek language, this means, or it's actually being continued, what's known as the present continuous tense. It's called the present tense. It simply means that if you're a Christian, you will not make sin a willful and habitual part of your life. You won't make it your lifestyle, in other words. Another way to say this, when you're not believing in Jesus, or you can say this, so whoever is born of God does not practice sin. So when we're truly born again, we do not habitually sin. We don't live a life of sin. Now, if it meant that we were sinlessly perfect, John would have lost his mind, because he wrote over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 10, if we say that we do not sin, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Maybe this is the same, like I just said. If we abide in him, sin not. So like I said, which is it? Well, it's both. If you're not isn't going to face it. What he's saying is that if you continue to be a part of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be this demonstration in your life by this radical, dramatic change in your life, and that's true salvation. Since you're truly saved, if you know you have this nature of God operating in you, and your life's changed, you're going to habitually practice it. Here's an appealing figure. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, where he says, my little children, we do not run unto you, but you stand not. And in the next verse, he says, if any man is sin, that's the believer, you and me, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that just means just picture St. John back then at one of the local gatherings. If you hear someone say, why don't Jesus? St. John looks at him and says, why? Have a lifestyle. Jesus, keep his commandments. We had a little cute disorientation with him. And it was a ton of sandwich years back there. They didn't have a GPS, satellite systems, and all that. So what they did, they navigated by the stars. It was called two-pinned stars. Now, the Bible says if we know him, we're going to keep his commandments. And we're going to sell off his commandments. Now, that doesn't mean that Stanley, who was keeping the stars, so to speak, never got blown off course. I never had a kind of distraction when the water wasn't playing right. But he uses he as a guide for his journey. He navigated by the stars. He knew the direction he was headed. He had a fixed change. He was living by it. Do you? Do you live by Jesus Christ? Is that your fixed standard in this world? Then God sent me all. God sent me all way right now in this message. Maybe that's why I got off the planet. If you don't care about God's commandments, if you're not living this spiritual life, but instead you're living an actual or a carnal life, and doing as you please, you're not staring at God's laws. If you're perpetually practicing all the things that you don't know Jesus and you're not saved, as Dr. Ronald says, that's the change you see. Thank you.
gives you. All you ever wanted to do is a lot. This is a strength, faith, and work. You can't destroy and destroy you. This new divine life in me, this principle, it gives me this new dynamic, to that desire, you know, it's God's very nature honoring me to be between the two. So what's God's nature? And God's nature is holiness. He is the unholy God. He's holy as God. And that nature abides in us. And then in verse 7, John said, little children, let no man deceive you. Be the path of righteousness. Righteous. Be the path of righteousness. So if Jesus is in you through this new birth,
dynamic and this new desire and this new decline. Jesus living in you. So there it is.
That's what the Bible says about true salvation. That's what I want.
First, it was our rebellion that proves our faithfulness.
Yes. transgression will never forget them.
His righteousness that proclaims our sonship, that's the way we know you've been paid through all of that, you know? And three, it's his redemption that provides our salvation. You know, his redemption redeems us from the very penalty of sin, the power of sin, and his very touch of itself. Now, the Bible says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Do you know you walk through yourself? How the Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Suppose that that's the Corinthians in his second letter, chapter 3, verse 5. Read it for yourself. Just ask yourself. Am I saved? Am I truly saved? If this were the very last moment of your life, do you absolutely, positively know that Jesus is going to receive you, loving arms, on the other side of eternity? Would you ever absolutely certain that you're saved? Would you pray the Lord for the right time? Would you just say this prayer? Just say, dear God, I've broken your law. I'm so a sinner. My sin, it deserves judgment. I need your mercy, Lord. I need to be redeemed from the election. I need to be redeemed from the power of Satan. I need to be redeemed from the spirit of personally myself. Jesus, would you say that? He did say that. He prayed for me so. He said, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for the faith of the faith with your blood on the cross. Thank you for dying. Take in my place. Now, Lord, I say, by your faith, imputed to me as a new creature in you, the faith of Jesus Christ, pray for you. I receive you in my heart as a little seed. Now, Lord Jesus, take the fruit of my life and begin to just transform me. Make me into that new creature that you want me to be, and help me to lift up the issue to you, Lord. And I know I pray this. Now, you all know that I love you. I truly do. And we've been having a few attacks by the enemy here. Small lip pressure, but right now.
Sing up, redeem, and let the world see our light shine bright and sweet wherever we go. I love you.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle, haunted a ghost that lived in my past, bound up in shackles of all my failures. This prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight, it's already been won, and I am redeemed. You set me free, so I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be, because I don't.
every stain, 'cause I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. Now I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. 'Cause I am redeemed.
Praise Jesus. Now let's lift our hands up. Let's just lift our hands up and do some worship with Jeremy Camp. And let's sing the way. Praise you, Jesus. There's power in praise.
Oh, creation cries out with longing. With groans only you can come. Shine bright, bright,
Now, I love y'all. Go out and let that light shine bright. Let your glory, let his glory in you fill this land. Lift high the King of Kings, the great I Am. Jesus, he's the way. I love y'all.